DCC, my church, my home.
Again, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to look at Exodus this morning, the book of Exodus, and straight after Genesis is Exodus, and we will look at chapter 14, verse 15. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 15. And if you don't know it, the theme for 2018 is going to be forward 2018. So that is our theme for 2018. Maybe you can just write it down. And I'm going to be sharing stuff this morning, but more so tonight as we kick off the forward series. And it's really about something that is bigger, better, and stronger. Something that is bigger, better, and stronger. Something that is bigger, better, and stronger. Look at somebody and tell them 2018 is going to be bigger, better, and stronger. Look at somebody if you're married and say, my marriage in 2018 is going to be bigger, better, and stronger. My financial status in 2018 is going to be bigger, better, and stronger. Come on, my ministry in 2018 is going to be bigger, better, and stronger. Everything about me and my family and my children and my children's children is going to be bigger, better, and stronger. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord this morning? All right, so let's look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. And it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Stop being a baby. Stop being a namby-pamby. Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Let's look at what the New Living... Do you have the New Living Translation? "Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving." Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them forward in 2018. Come on, look at somebody else. I'd say, I don't know about you, but I'm going forward in 2018. My marriage is going forward in 2018. Everything about me and my life is going forward in 2018. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. As your word comes, we thank you for faith, because you said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I want to thank you that we are a faith people that have a faith covenant with a faith God. And I want to thank you that you honor the faith of your people. And I thank you that we can work with faith and you can work with faith. And so this morning, I thank you for a boldness that comes upon the people of God, that we who were once not a people of God have now become the people of God. And we thank you that because of the cross and because of the blood and because of what Jesus did for us, that we can draw nigh unto your throne. We can come with a boldness this morning. We can come with assurance this morning. We don't have to hold back. We don't have to hang back. We don't have to give excuses. We don't have to hang our heads down. But this morning, we come boldly before your throne of grace. And I thank you that there would be a bold faith that you would stir up in our hearts today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you've got your notepads or something to take notes, I always encourage people to take notes, because that's always good. God speaks to us in the preaching of the word, not because of me. I'm just a vessel of clay. I'm just a human being. That's all it is. But if we believe that God speaks through us, then I encourage folk, use your smartphone, do whatever, write a scripture, write a statement down, and then afterwards go back and pray over it. Also, it would be good to check out if I am giving you the right scriptures. All right, you need to go and check me out. Don't just take what I'm saying, but check out the scriptures, study the scriptures. It's an interesting story as we look here at Exodus 14 and 15. Just giving you a bit of a background, you know that for 400 years the Israelites had been in slavery in Egypt. Of course, they were brought there by Joseph, and Joseph now is dead, and there's a new Pharaoh. And so as the years progress, they are under tremendous slavery, tremendous harvest. And it is indicative. Egypt is a type of the world that we were in. Pharaoh is a type of Satan that is real. And once upon a time, you and I were also in that slavery. We were also in bondage. We were also held captive by the works of darkness. And so as the years go by, God raises up a man by the name of Moses, who was a stammering, stuttering man, and basically uses him to go and put his finger into Pharaoh's nostrils and say, "My God, the great I am, the I am who I am, the I am that I am," basically tells you, "Let my people go and so that they can worship me." Anyways, to cut a long story short, Pharaoh laughs at him, and then there are a series of plagues that take place until the final plague, the 10th plague, where all the firstborn of the Egyptian sons are killed. And so Pharaoh, in desperation, and because the people are putting pressure on him, they let the Israelites go. And so God leads them this way. I want you to understand that they were led by God this way. And so, having traversed through certain areas, they now found themselves in the valley. In front of them is the Red Sea. On the right-hand side, they have a range of mountains. On the left-hand side, they have another range of mountains. And now, coming up behind them are the Egyptians. When the Israelites left and they took all their children and all their livestock, they took all the silver and the gold and all the clothes from the Egyptians, suddenly Pharaoh's heart was hardened by God. And he says, "You know what? We made a grave mistake. Who's going to be our slaves?" And so Pharaoh says, "You know what? They have actually found a path that is actually been their trap," because now he knew that the Red Sea's in front of them, mountains on either side. "We're going to come up from behind them and seal their path, and they are as sure as anything, we're going to get them back to be slaves." And so here they are, about 6 million Jews who have just come out of Egypt. They got the Red Sea, they got the two mountains, they can hear the chariots, and they can hear the army of Egypt coming behind them, who, by the way, those Egyptians were a formidable army, they were a formidable empire. And now the children of Israel begin to moan, and they begin to blame Moses. And they said, "Man, was there not enough graveyards in Egypt that you came to bury us out here? I mean, you should have just let us be. We were quite happy to be slaves. We were quite happy to be under that dominion. We were quite happy to be under that power, that, you know, that slavery." And so it's quite a situation here, understanding that it was God who led them by the cloud by day and by the pillar of night. So actually, this is now a whole setup by God. It was God himself who led them into this situation. Do you know that sometimes, family, we think it's the enemy that lands us up in a certain situation, when in actual fact, it is God? And do you know that oftentimes he gets us in that place where there is nowhere to hide, there is nowhere to run, so that he can work his work in us? And I have discovered the best thing for you and I to do right there and then is just to give in and simply yield to God. I've discovered the best thing to do is just let him work his work in you. Let him do what only he can do. Let him have his way. It's no use trying to run from God. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but listen, you can only run so far and so much from God until eventually you would have exhausted all your options and you will have used all of your energy. Listen, I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants to be included in the nitty-gritty of your life. He's not just your Sunday God, but he's your Monday God. He's your Tuesday God. He's your Wednesday God. He's your Thursday God. He's your Friday, your Saturday, and then back in church on a Sunday God. Hallelujah. Every day of the week, every hour of the day, every minute of the day, every second of the minute, hallelujah, he is your God. He is the God of the universe, in case you didn't know. And I'm here to tell you that He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere all at the same time. And He delights in manifesting His might and His power and His wisdom in and through you. Look at somebody and tell them, God delights in you. And He delights in manifesting His power, His sovereignty, His grace, His blessing, His protection. Come on. Yeah, He does take care of the lilies and the flowers and the birds and the alligators and the cheetahs and the lions and everything that is there. But you are His prized possession. You are His masterpiece. He took 5 days to create all of creation, and on the sixth day, He rubbed His hands together and said, now I'm about to make my masterpiece. This is going to be the best thing that I ever did. And every day when God created, He stepped back and said, that's good. On the second day, He stepped back and said, that's good. Third day, He stepped back and said, that's good. Fifth day, He stepped back and said, that's good. But on the sixth day, when He created you and I, He stepped back and said, now that's very good. Look at somebody and tell them, you are God's masterpiece. And He delights in manifesting His power, His might, hallelujah, His wisdom through your life. The psalmist said in Psalm 77, verse 14, New King James, David said, you are the God who does wonders. You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. What's the use of God's power working out there, whereas it can be working in your, and it carries more of an oomph when it works in your life. Why? Because you have your voice and your being and your essence verifying that power, verifying that it's God, giving glory to God. When the power of God is out there, just creation gives glory to God. But when the power works in you and me, we have the opportunity to say, no, that wasn't me. That was God all by Himself working through my life. Can you say amen? Look at what the Bible says about Paul. Acts 19:11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Look at somebody and tell them, God delights to work His miracles through you. Hallelujah. He loves it. It thrills Him so. That's why later on Paul comes and says, you know what? If there's something that I've learned, 2 Corinthians 12:10, he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Verse 9 tells us, because, you know, Paul was caught up into the third heaven and he had revelation upon revelation. And then he says, lest I should pride myself in that thing, Satan sent a torment to buffet me. And he said, 3 times I pleaded to God, but God said to him, son, my grace is sufficient for you. Why? Because my strength is made perfect when you are weak. When you realize that it's not about you, it's not about how much money you got, it's not about how many PhDs you got, it's not about who you connected to, who you know and who you do not know, but when you are weak and you realize, oh well, I've got to put my trust and my confidence in God, that's when I step in. That is when I am at my best. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. So I want to talk this morning about Moses. People are complaining. Little did they know that it was a setup by God. God brought them all the way there. I got you in the right place. Nowhere for you to hide. Nowhere for you to run. And Moses says these 3 things to him. Number one, he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Look at somebody and tell them, don't worry, be happy. Look at somebody else and tell them, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Oh, 2018, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm a little bit apprehensive. I've got my contract's getting less than I've only got a month left on my car. Will they renew the car? No, do not be afraid. Now, that's probably a whole lot easier to say than to do in a situation like this, or perhaps in a situation that you might find yourself in. But I'm here to encourage you in your faith this morning. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God, who? God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So every time you feel fearful, this scripture ought to pop up, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now listen, when you stay in Christ, engrafted, he is the vine, you are the branch. That's John 15:1-8. Jesus is the vine, you are the branch. And all the branch has to do is stay connected to the vine, am I right? All the branch has to do is just abide. Just hang in there. Whatever is in the vine flows into the branch. The nutrient and the sap and all that's in the vine flows into the branch. How is it that the branch bears fruit? Simply because the branch is connected to the vine. That's all it is. So when you stay in Christ and in the Word, you'll have power, you'll have love, and you'll have a sound mind. I say this because the only way to combat fear is through faith. Fear is the antithesis of faith. Fear is the enemy of faith. Say that with me. Fear is the enemy to my faith. And I want you to know that there is no way that you can be in faith and have fear. If there is fear, you lack faith. But if you have true faith, you will not fear. Now, I'm not saying that you might not look at that situation and it'll cause your heart to flutter and you're thinking, oh my God, how did I land up in this thing? This is going to take the miracle of the century to get. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a fear that causes you to cower, a fear that causes you to hide, a fear that causes you to run. God locked them in the situation. You got a mountain on one side. I can't run there. I can't run there. I can't run behind me because that's the Egyptian. And in front of me is a Red Sea. I am stuck in this place. And all I've got to do is look at my problem. I've got to look at my mountain. I've got to look at that challenge. And I am not supposed to fear. Stay in that place and look at that thing. Bump your neighbor and say, don't be afraid. Number two, he says, do not be afraid. Number two, I want you, he said, to stand still. Stand still. Hallelujah. Stand still. Ephesians 6:13 says, take up the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. I don't know when that evil day is, but I know that there are a lot of days wherein evil lies. And so it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, whatever day it is. Hallelujah. You and I ought to be ready. He said, therefore, take up just some of the armor of God. I know that you're tired. I know that you've eaten too much and you've been celebrating. So maybe just the sword. What does he say? Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then he says, and having done all, to run away. Having done all, to what? To stand. Hallelujah. So the natural response would have been for them to run from the problem. Come on. I don't know what your problem is today. I don't know what your mountain is today, but I'm here to tell you it's time to confront that mountain. What is the giant that you are facing? It's time to confront the giant. What is the problem that you are facing? It's time to confront the problem. What is the issue that stands between you and you receiving your miracle? Confront the issue. And Moses says, stand still. We're going to stand still. But what are we standing on? If you're going to stand still, you have to stand on something that's firm. You're going to have to be able to stand on something that can carry your weight. You're going to have to stand on something that has a bit of a foundation to it. Why do I say it? Because when the storms of life come, when winds blow, when things are thrown at you, if you don't have a solid foundation, you're not going to be able to stand still. Hallelujah. Well, I'm standing on a feeling, Pastor. Well, I don't think that will help you much. Feelings come, feelings, nothing more than feelings, trying to, whatever it is. Well, I'm standing on a hunch, Pastor. Well, I don't, maybe you're the hunchback of Notre Dame. I don't know, but that's not going to help you much either. Oh, Pastor, I'm standing on a dream. I had a dream. I dream a lot. I dreamt. The next door neighbor had a plant, and that plant was bought from Macro. And then the person that works at Macro, his dog's father's uncle, it's so intricated that you would need to be a rocket scientist to bring the interpretation of this dream. I believe in dreams as well, but listen, can you back it up with something more substantial, like the Word of God? Oh, Pastor, I'm standing on a verbal agreement. I don't even know if there is such a thing today, like a verbal agreement. I don't know of such a thing today. In the old days, you could say, my word is my bond, but I don't know about today. I don't know, brother. I don't know if you can stand on a verbal agreement. Lots of people promise you a whole lot of things, and then they wake up the next morning and they don't even remember your name. Oh, Pastor, I'm standing on a song I heard on the radio. I was listening to Radio 5, and it reminded me of the 70s. Oh, yeah, Pastor, I'm standing on that song, you know, coming alive, staying alive. Staying alive. Is that what you're standing on that song way back there from the Bee Gees? You know that oftentimes people come and ask me to pray for many things for them. And I want to say right off the bat, I'm not a magician. I'm not God, but I will stand together with you, join my faith together with you, and believe God together with you. But oftentimes I will ask people, what's the word you're standing on? And they get this like blank look on their face. Like, I don't know if I got to do sign language or something. There's been a miscommunication. But it's apparent, evidently, that that thought hasn't even crossed their mind. A word? What word are you talking about? Like this word? Do you have a word in your heart? What's the scripture that you're standing on? The psalmist David said it like this in Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever. Forever. All I got to do is have a word. And the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So if you can get two or three scriptures, you're even standing on more solid ground. Jesus said in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And you can't stand on anything else but the word of God. What's your business standing on? What's your marriage standing on? What's your ministry standing on? I know it's a simple thing that I'm telling you, but you'd be surprised at how few put it into practice. So Moses said, do not be afraid. Stand still, number two. And number three, he said, and see. Begin to see. See what, Moses? See the salvation of the Lord. See the Egyptians that you see today, you will no longer see. See me working this thing. See me fighting on your behalf. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that we can, in order to watch God work on our behalf. Sometimes we think that it's because of our effort. But there is such a thing as resting in God, a rest that comes in God. No, I'm not saying that our faith has to be passive and our faith has to be dormant. My faith is active. And I am working my faith, and I'm ingesting the word, and I am worshiping God, and I'm pressing in, and I'm entering in, and I'm pushing in, and I'm doing whatever I gotta do. But at the same time, I'm able to see God and watch Him work on my behalf. There is a rest in God, family of God, that allows you and I to watch and see His delivering power, to watch and see His miracle healing power, to watch and see His restoring power, to watch and see His saving power. God loves you so much And he has all of heaven and all of his angels on standby, waiting at his command just for you. Do you believe that this morning? The prophet Zechariah said it like this in Zechariah 4:6. Not by your might, nor by your power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Do you know that we have the privilege of standing on the finished work of Calvary? We have the privilege of standing on the finished work of Calvary this morning. We're not trying to defeat the devil. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. You say, well, I don't see the victory, because you're not enforcing it in your life. The only reason why he evidently wins is because we believe his lies. When we believe every lie of the devil, what happens? We empower him. The serpent that he was in Genesis, he becomes the dragon that we read in Revelation 12. How does he get to be the dragon? By simply believing his lies. And so he goes from a serpent to a bigger serpent to some kind of a creature, until eventually he becomes the dragon that we read of in Revelation 12. But we are standing on the finished work of the cross. I'm here to tell you this morning, the curse was broken 2,000 years ago. Our job is simply to enforce that victory into every area of our lives. We're not trying to change ourselves. That's called rehabilitation. You go to a psychiatrist for that, together with medication and neuroscience and all kinds. They put you on a rehab, and man tries to rehabilitate you. God doesn't need your and my help to change us. I'm not trying to deliver myself. You're not trying to deliver yourself. We're not trying to heal ourselves. Can I get an amen in this place? Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago. And so what do? We watch and see. When God called Abraham, he said, come here, son. I know that there's a bit of a division between you and Lot, and you know he's going to go somewhere else. But I want you to lift your eyes and see the land. See as far north as you can. See as far south as you can. See as far east and west. All that you can see, you can have. He says, do not be afraid. Stand still. And number three, and see, watch God work. Watch God perform his miracles. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful. I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, 14th of November, 1982. It was just simply my responding to his amazing love. And I remember after I got saved, one of my friends that we used to jaw together with, we were really jawless. He looked at me and he said to me, John, I want you to know that I can see a change in your life. I mean, he's a total unbeliever, even today, an unbeliever, good man, but total unbeliever. And what he said, he didn't even realize that he was saying it by the Spirit of God. There was no ways that I could change myself. There was no ways that I could deliver myself. I simply gave myself over to God in response to his overwhelming love, and I watched God work in my life. And as I watched God work in my life, I began to watch him work in my family's life. My mom came over and she was distraught, thinking that I was in some cult. I said, Mom, I'm getting baptized. What? You were christened as a boy, as a young baby. What is this you're in? And so she was up in Secunda, that area. She comes down the weekend, and I invited her to the service, and there was 2,000 people. We came into our auditorium. Sister Nell began to praise and worship, and she looked like, what was this woman doing? What is this? I've never seen such worship. I've never seen such adoration. And as Pastor Fred preached, the tears began to flow down her cheeks. The altar call was given, and she simply, without even me saying a single word, I watched God work his salvation. And not only my mom, but my sister. And then my elder sister, we were sitting at the table, and she had and still has a husband, and he's not really born again, wasn't born again there. And so she said to me, "What's this? I heard you're becoming a priest," because we were Catholics. "You're becoming a priest." I said, "No, I said, I just found Jesus. I said, I got born again." "What? Born again?" I said, "Well, I have a desire to go to heaven." She said, "Oh, we're all going to heaven." And the husband, not even saved, he says, "No, we're not all going to heaven. We're not all going to heaven." I'm like looking at him thinking, okay, that's an interesting conversation coming from an unbeliever. "No, we're not all going to heaven." "We're not? Who's going to heaven then?" I said, "Those that are washed in the blood. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior." Well, she said, "I'm going to heaven as well. I'm accepting Jesus right now, right now, right now." And at the dinner table, she invited, I watched the Lord work his salvation in my sister. My dad was a bit of a hard case. Took me 2 years. But then that day came when I got a call from my mom, and she said, "Guess what?" I said, "What, Mom?" "Your dad's just given his heart to the Lord." And I watched the Lord work his salvation in my dad. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whatever it is that you are facing, don't be afraid. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then stand still. Don't run from that problem. I know every bone is quaking. I know it's a huge giant. I know it's a huge problem. I know it's a challenge. But stand still and see the Lord fight on your behalf. Watch him. Watch him come through for you. You won't even have to say much. You won't even have to go under tremendous stress and tremendous this and that. I watch people when they, you know, if they have issues, they're going to go to the lawyers. They're going to put a gag on him. We're going to bind you. We're going to stop you from working. They believe us. You know what? They've expended so much energy and time. They've added like 30 years to their life already. All that stress, all the money that I've expended. All they got to do is just stand still, keep quiet, and let God work his work. Let God work his work. You'll end up having more money in the bank, I guarantee you, because when you take a lawyer, when you go to the law, the only people that win are the lawyers. You lose, they win. If you win, they win again anyways. So it's a win-lose situation. But just let God. I tell you, it'll cost you less pills, less doctors, less psychiatrics, or whatever it is. Can't get the word out this morning. Less lawyer bills, less stress, less fighting, less arguing. Just stand still and watch God. God will vindicate you. I said, God will vindicate you. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I feel the tremendous love of God in this place. And I don't know, maybe it is that God has got you in this place. You're in lockdown mode. Nowhere for you to go but to turn to God. What a great time. What a great moment. The last day of 2017. It would be the last day for you to be without God. But from today, if you turn to God, you will continue in God. Imagine going into 2018 with God and all of heaven and all of the angels backing you up. And that can be you today. You say, "Pastor, I'm away from God, and to be honest with you, I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed." Listen, God loves you this morning. He knows what you've been through. He knows the mess. He knows the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment. He knows how low you have stooped, and still he says, "I want you." Still, he says, "I want you. I'll take you as you are. I'll take you with all of the mess. I'll take you with all of the failure. I'll take you with all of the weakness. I'll take you with all of the habit. All of the habit. I'll take you just as you are. You are mine." That's what God is saying to you today.
Friends, I don't like to close the broadcast without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you're either running God's race or you are not. And the moment you are born again, you qualify to run God's race. So today, perhaps as you are watching, you realize that your life is not right with God. Don't go another day, another moment, another hour, another second without putting right with God. The amazing thing is He is so loving and He loves you unconditionally. It's not based on what you can do or what you can say. His love for you never changes. But you know, as you've been watching, that there are things not right. And right now is a good moment. Don't wait for tomorrow, don't wait for next week, but right now is a divine moment. Heaven is open right now for you to respond, to come to Christ. And I know that there are people right now watching that are ready to either recommit their lives to Christ or to come fresh, never having come to Christ before. You can do it right now. Would you bow your heads and say after me, Heavenly Father, I ask you for forgiveness. I repent of my sins. I turn my back right now. I renounce the devil and all of his works. But you, Lord Jesus, I invite into my life right now. I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins. Thank you for your precious blood that cleanses me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me another opportunity. And I come to you. I open every part of my life. And Jesus, with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll never be the same. From this day onwards forever, I belong to you and you belong to me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Friend, I'm so glad that you've prayed that prayer. It's just a prayer of faith. It's a simple prayer. But I do believe that God heard the cry of your heart and that right now you're a child of God. And this is a time to celebrate. We'd like to celebrate this decision with you. So would you be so kind as to let us know what's happened in your life? Let us know if this is the first time you prayed this prayer, or if you have any other prayer requests. Right now, the details are coming on your screen, or you can even SMS us your prayer request as well. We do have that facility available. And we're just so glad to be able to join our faith together with your faith and believe God for a miracle just for you. Well, that's about it. We've run out of time. Until next time, God bless you. And remember, Jesus loves you so very much, and so do we.
Besides the Jesus Dome services at Mayville, Durban Christian Center has satellite campuses in Phoenix, Berea, Hillcrest, Chatsworth, Wentworth, and The Bluff. For further details about these venues and service times, please contact us on 031-242-5000 or visit our webpage at durbanchristiancenter.com. And now we wish you a blessed week. Please remember to like us on Facebook or visit our website for more information about DCC, our church, our home. Durban Christian Center is now on WhatsApp. That's right, we are on WhatsApp. So if you would like to send your prayer requests or a testimony, simply voice note us on 082-935-3912. To stay up to date with events, sermon videos, podcasts, live groups, and many more, be sure to download the Durban Christian Center app, which is available on the App Store and Google Play Store.
Jesus, your love endures. Jesus, your love endures. Jesus, your love.